Lopez, who is Associate Director of Evaluation at the Mission Economic Development Agency in San Francisco. Dr. Lopez oversees the evaluation of the Mission Promise Neighborhood Initiative, which is a multi-agency collaborative aimed at improving the academic outcomes and well-being of children and families living and going to school in San Francisco's Mission District. Dr. Lopez's research interests include health disparities, education, and immigration, particularly as they pertain to Latino communities. And today she's going to speak to us about the impact of the Affordable Care Act on a community clinic serving immigrant Latinos and the role of health policy, community needs, and gentrification on sustainability. Thank you, Dr. Lopez.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying, because I know it's been a long day for a lot of us. Before I begin my presentation, and I'm actually really talking about a case study of a clinic in the Mission that's implementing the Affordable Care Act, and a lot of what people have been talking about today really resonates with what I'll be presenting, so it really fits nicely. So I have no relationships to disclose. So let me start with an overview of the project. So this is sort of embedded in the Mission Promise Neighborhood Initiative, which is a multi-agency collaborative funded by the Department of Education that aims to improve the academic outcomes of children going to school, living and going to school in the Mission District. And one of our collaborative partners is the Mission Neighborhood Health Center, which is a community clinic founded in 1967 and that serves underserved populations, mainly low-income, mostly Latino. So we wanted to know what the impact of the Affordable Care Act implementation was on the clinic, and in particularly how the clinic was responding to this policy and the changes that were happening in the neighborhood in terms of, you know, the demographic shifts in Latinos moving out of the Mission into outer neighborhoods. So we spoke to clinic staff. We spoke to field experts. We looked at clinic service utilization data, as well as census and survey data to kind of paint a context. So this is our Mission District. We are home to almost 56,000 residents, 12 of whom are children, 39 of whom are Latino. 12% of residents are living below the federal poverty line. There's a lot of disparity in this community. So we have 17% who have less than a high school education. Well, at the same time, we have about 50% that have a bachelor's degree or higher. About 20% are uninsured, and most are renters. So the Hispanic population, Latino population in the Mission has been decreasing over the last few years. I think from 2000 to 2010, it decreased by 6,000. And I think that it's changed a lot more than that in the last 4 years. So let's talk about Latinos in the Mission District. And this data comes from a neighborhood survey that we conducted in March of this year. So Latinos are living in poverty. Most Latinos are poor. Over 90% of all households earn significantly less than the median household income in San Francisco, which is $73,000. 65% live at or below poverty. Latinos tend to be less educated. 47% have less than a high school diploma. Many had health insurance, though. 82% of surveyed adults and 90% of their children had insurance. And really, San Francisco is unique in the sense that we have Healthy San Francisco, which is a program that offers access to health care to uninsured populations and through medical homes. So a lot of our population is covered. So in terms of housing, housing is a big concern in our community. It is a, It's a severe burden on many of our population. About 58% of our respondents spend more than half of their income on housing, and many really fear displacement. So let's talk about our clinic. So the Mission Neighborhood Health Center serves a total of 12,282 patients at four clinic sites. So the clinic with the site with the highest volume of patients is in the heart of the Mission, which is close to downtown. The second site with the highest volume of patients is in the Excelsior Clinic and Excelsior neighborhood of San Francisco, which is southeast, sort of farther away. And that particular site was opened as a direct response to the changing demographics in San Francisco and Latino residents moving away from downtown into the farther neighborhoods. So this is where our Mission Neighborhood Health Center patients live. So over the 5 years, we've seen that fewer are coming from the Mission District and more are coming from the Excelsior. So our clinic serves mostly Latino patients, but this has also been changing. In 2008, 88% of patients were Latino. In 2013, that went down to 82%. We've seen an increase in the number of white patients and African-American patients. But the clinic does serve the neighborhoods with the highest concentration of Latinos. In terms of other demographics, 61% of patients are adults. The clinic does have a pediatric clinic. Many are uninsured, and many live below the poverty line. 99% actually live below 200% of the federal poverty, and many are Spanish-speaking. So in terms of the impact in the Affordable Care, I'll be talking about both Medicaid expansion and Cover California. And in terms of impact, I'll be talking about the outreach and enrollment activities, the enrollment in the Affordable Care Act program, and what the clinic perceived as gains and challenges, and sustainability in a changing community. So in terms of outreach and enrollment, the Mission Neighborhood Health Center is a certified enrollment entity, which means that staff had to be recruited to oversee and coordinate the process of outreach and enrollment. Staff had to be trained to be certified enrollment counselors. They had to conduct a number of outreach and enrollment campaigns and leverage existing partnerships because this was quite an extensive endeavor. In terms of outreach efforts, there was aggressive outreach to patients first. The clinic had weekend and night enrollment clinics, which were at capacity. And all the education and enrollment services were tailored to Spanish-speaking populations. So all there were 14 outreach and enrollment staff, and they were all Spanish-speaking. So in terms of outcomes, the clinic reached out to 10,000 or so folks, mostly patients, so 82% of the patient population was outreached to. Like 3,000 or so received one-on-one enrollment assistance. And out of those, 412 patients enrolled through the health exchange in a private insurance. 1,600 or so enrolled in Medi-Cal, both the expansion and traditional. And so a total of 2,000 plus patients were actually enrolled in either Medi-Cal or a private insurance. So remember the percentage of uninsured was 45%, which was about 5,000. So little less than half were actually enrolled in some kind of insurance. So in terms of gains, you know, aside from, there were the community gains, and the clinic thought that, you know, the Affordable Care Act presented a great opportunity for increasing the health of the community as a whole. It also provided a better payer mix. So having increased revenue from folks that were insured allowed for more folks to receive health services. And also more resources to expand and improve the services that the clinic was offering. And in terms of, even expanding services to the other neighborhood sites, the other clinic sites. There were many challenges, so the enrollment process was very complex, and especially for Spanish speakers, and they needed additional support. The other thing, the outreach and enrollment counselors were required to be fair, to be impartial in how they communicated options to patients. And this posed a challenge for them because patients always looked to them for advice as to how to pick a plan, and they felt that they weren't able to provide that kind of counseling to them. And the cost was always a big issue for patients. And the task for the enrollment counselors was to be able to communicate what the cost of not having health care was. So in terms of sustainability, aside from providing revenue for the expansion of services and to be able to target folks that were not eligible for services, it also, the clinic has been talking a lot, or thinking a lot about a sustainability given that the changing demographics in the neighborhood. The plan is, expanding services to areas with the greatest concentration of Latinos, and that seems to be, moving sort of away from the mission and moving closer to where the populations are going. And that's sort of something that's happened already and that will most likely services will expand at other sites. The clinic's also been thinking about, how do we remain relevant and responsive to any community member? Seeing the demographic shifts, the clinic wants to remain attractive to not just Spanish speakers, but also English speakers. Are they an attractive option to English speakers? Most of the services that are provided by the clinic are provided to Spanish speakers, so all the providers speak Spanish. But is that an attractive option for younger population or a non-Spanish speaking population? And the other thing, in terms of sustainability, the clinic's been working on improving and expanding services. And one thing that the clinic has been doing is trying to get certification as a patient-centered medical home. So that's one way, to remain competitive. So the next steps for this project are to really explore the enrollment numbers and to see whether the ACA has impacted in any way patient volume and service utilization, and also to explore the process of decision-making around healthcare choices. So we know that cost is important. Are there other factors that would keep patients in the clinic? When I started this project, I was wondering if, having a choice of where to go for care would motivate people to go elsewhere from the clinic. Did people think that maybe it was they would get better care at a Kaiser? But we haven't really found that. And what we've been hearing from the clinic is that if people do leave, they end up coming back because, they get more time with the physician. They don't have to wait. It's sort of the continuity of care is important. So that we haven't really seen that. But, this is something that we want to explore. How do people make decisions about what plan to choose, especially when the process is so complex. We've also heard from clinic staff that, having to choose a network, a provider, a clinic, is something that's very new to this community. So how do we educate folks about how to make the best choices? And my collaborators and my contact information. Thank you so much.